Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to... Oh, gosh. I had a drink of water there. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise as we shift into travel mode right here on the show. The first hour, we had Craig Campbell from the CEO of CoachellaValley.com. We went through a whole bunch of events, had a ton of fun with that. We're going to be doing some stuff with the show. So, well, we're going to do something with listener invites as well. Joining me in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Was that first hour gone?
It was quick.
What the heck?
Very quick.
I know. We want to congratulate Denise, who won 4 blocks of vouchers for the Palm Springs International Short Film Festival, June 19th through 25th. I have some more to give away this hour, and hopefully I'll give to him. I have a $25 gift card for Johannes, but you cannot have won this or the Short Film Festival tickets either or before, because we want to make sure some people that don't have those tickets and gift certificates get them.
New experiences.
There you go. Right. There you go. A new experience. So a lot happening in the world of travel. So much to talk about on today's show. Kim Laidlaw is going to be joining us. She is with Animal Samaritans, and we're going to talk about traveling with animals. That's always such a tricky topic now. I mean, there's so many opinions about our situation with pets in the world now, and just in general, people taking them into the stores when they're not supposed to be, but you can't leave them in their car, your car,
right?
When it's hot.
I mean, why can't they stay at the house?
There you go, too. I'm with you. I really am. I'm a pet lover all my life, and I had horses and dogs and cats and never really any snakes or rats or anything like that. A little hamster, too. Fishes, rabbits. I love little bunny rabbits.
I've had a rabbit.
Yeah.
I had a snake, though, before.
Did you? Yeah, no snakes. Yeah. But I didn't feel the need for them to travel with me. I didn't think it was fair to them.
Never did I ever think, oh, I got to run to the grocery store. Let me grab the dog.
Let me take the dog. Yeah, I know. And then go in. And I know everyone has their own opinion. I respect everyone's opinion. So we're going to be talking about, but trips too for travel. And actually our question of the week was about traveling with pets. And it's really, like I said before, I can always judge how people are nervous about answering a question online because I know everyone will see it. And then other questions, they're blurt right out.
Right.
So it really is interesting. But here's something that we're talking about animals, and I might have been able to read this in the first hour of the show, but since it talks about the world in general, this is just something for you to think about. Let's see here. Wild animals. There is a new study out, a census of life on Earth found that 83% of all wild mammals have vanished amid the rise of human civilization.
Yeah, because don't we eat them all?
We eat them and we kill them. It's just terrible. With more humans came demand for more livestock, which now make up 60% of all mammals as measured by biomass. So that means that farmed and poultry makes up 70% of all birds on the earth.
Wow.
I mean, this is really unbelievable. 4% of all mammals today live in the wild. Just 4%.
Wow.
This is, yeah. When I was reading this, when people travel to these areas, and I was watching on the Travel Channel, I mean, they're still trying to wipe out the whales and everything else. There's not even that many of them left. They say humans now make up a relatively measly 0.01% of all life on Earth.
Wow.
We are the minority.
Very much so.
To the livestock that we grow. Yes. But that speck of humanity has an outsized impact. Intense whaling helped decimate 80% of all marine animals, and half of all plants on Earth have been lost. Whew. That's a real downer.
Yeah, I'll just say this whole thing is just kind of a downer.
I know, but I'm reading this. And it's livestock. When we see all these cattle, when you're on the roads, just think you go up 5 and you see all the cattle farms. When you're traveling
right
across the country, you're going to see livestock everywhere you look. Well, they outnumber. So with all that said,
be nice to your dog.
Yeah, be nice to your dog. Maybe you don't need to take them to the store or traveling. Maybe they'd be better off in a kennel. I don't know. Anyway, so on this hour of the show, we are brought to you by V. Elson's Jewelers. So remembering grads and dads to check out Bielsa's Jeweler Lower Level in the Gardens on El Paseo. Last week, I played the very first episode of Traveling with Françoise. It brings tears to my eyes. When I watch that episode, it really brings tears to my eyes because I think, wow, I actually did it.
That's awesome.
You know, I had a little dream, and it's been certainly a little struggle, you know, financially. All that stuff's expensive, folks, and I always need sponsors and all that kind of things. But it's I just thought, wow, I did it. I'm doing it and I'm making it happen. And I get I'm going to say I got proud of myself for doing it.
As you should be.
Yeah. So anyway, this week, what are we showing this week on TV? I think we're going to show the Carlsbad show. So that will be running on Thursday at noon on Fox 11. And then Friday morning at 5:30 a.m. on 11 as well. So, and I have a bunch of proposals out there, and I have a lot of places interested. So everyone, keep your fingers crossed for me that we will get certainly some more destinations out there. So on yesterday on KESQ Channel 3, I was there, and we took a look at Legoland. I still think it's a great summer vacation for you and the family. Check it out. They have deals online all the time. The kids are going to love it between the ages. They say 2 and 12. I say 5 and 12. It's just really a fun place for you and your kids. You will enjoy it just as much as your kids without all the drama that goes along with Disneyland, that it really does. I don't know about Knott's Berry Farm. I haven't been to Knott's Berry Farm in so long. I'm not sure what kind of drama is at Knott's Berry Farm.
But I can't say either. I haven't been for...
But yeah.
It's been a long time.
You used to go to the chicken house? Yeah.
What's funny is I was telling Janet that I remember when I was a kid, I was visiting my aunt in Corona, and we went to Knott's Berry Farm, but we were at a real berry farm.
Oh.
And I felt cheated.
Oh, you you wanted
That's
to go.
That's all I remember, yeah.
You wanted the rides.
Yeah, I think we were at the actual berry farm.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's clear. But the Lavender Festival has another weekend. I wanted to ask Craig about the Cherry Festival, and I forgot because I never did make it over there. But always so many fun festivals out there. So don't be afraid to go on out and experience, whether it's 10 minutes from home or across the country. Take advantage of all there is to offer out there and enjoy it. Remember, a lot of places have free things going on, especially in the warmer places, because it's summer. Lots of free movies. We have so many beautiful parks that have water features, and here in Arizona and Nevada, take advantage of it. Take advantage of all that. All right, I think what we will do is we will step aside for a moment. When we come back, we're going to jump right into travel news. I'm going to tell you what is going on in the world of travel. We'll be right back. You're listening to Traveling with Françoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You are listening to Traveling with Françoise. I'm Françoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in the boardroom, as always, is Sean Flanagan. I was just at the ACT Travel Club meeting, their Travel Club of the Desert meeting, once a month during the week, and they sold out on their King Tut exhibit to the California Science Center. They're going to add a new date, and they have a trip coming up, a 9-day trip in October. The highlights of Poland, nonstop air from LAX. It's $1,900, 9 days. This looks like a phenomenal trip, October 4th through 12th. So check it out, Adult Customized Tours, ACT. Their information is on the website. And next week, we're going to have Nada Presklo and Father John Struzzo on the show with Ave Maria Pilgrimage. And remember, it's pilgrimage, and it's AveMariaPilgrimage.com. So check out all their spiritual trips of something completely different than what ACT does, so which is really fun to be able to talk about. All right, this segment of the show is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage. Be proactive, not reactive. Their number is 760-321-1111. Take advantage of all the free programs that they have over there for you with vision loss or you just starting vision loss. Don't wait. All right, Hawaii has been all the rage as far as the news, but it's kind of starting to back off just a little bit. I noticed where it was the breaking story on all the newscast, not so much.
Right.
Maybe they're not really sure of what more they can talk about, except show us more of the fissures that are the ground where it's splitting and the lava just coming out. And I don't know. How hard is it for them to break up that lava and open up these roads?
I think it has to be difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but we're at kind of a crossroads now because tourism and I'm going to read you what tourism is saying, is wanting people to come. However, yet Gina Edwards sent me an email the other day talking about, she said, "Good morning, Francoise. The volcano activity is heating up. The lava flow in Hawaii is causing big problems in the water. I have a friend, a high school pal, who lives 200 miles away, and she's safe, but the air is awful there. So many people are blocked by lava flow, and, of course, what happened in Guatemala, the volcano there, is all awful. So Gina is pointing out one side of it from a friend who's 200 miles away with bad air quality.
Right. And it's going to keep moving, too.
Yeah, right. It picks up these clouds and just moves along. Now, how unsafe is that for visitors? Because here I have also a release from Kuala Coast, Hawaii. It says, as news of Hawaii's Kilauea volcano continues to make headlines, Maolani Resort, located on the northwest side of the island, far from Kilauea, reminds golfers and visitors that now is actually a great time to visit the paradise. They are on the opposite side of the island. They say they're 75 miles away from where the volcano is. And they say there's absolutely no reason at this time for travelers to change or alter their leisure or business plans.
I wonder if it's probably the wind. Maybe the wind blows it the other way.
I would think the wind is the huge factor, those trade winds that blow through there. Of course, if they were blowing them across the island, then it would be horrific.
Yeah.
It says most of the Hawaiian islands are unaffected by the volcano, except a remote area on the island of Hawaii's east side. Out of the island's 4,028 square miles, less than 10 square mile area is affected. So this is really interesting how we're getting all these conflicting reports on should we go, should we not go. Boy, it's a tough call. It's the same thing as when all the hurricanes destroyed parts of the Caribbean. So many places were untouched, but yet people say, I don't want to go, period, because I don't want to take a chance.
And what's worse is they don't want to do the research either.
Right. And right now, as they were saying, is a great time to go because Hawaii will be doing anything they can to get you over there.
Yeah, they want you to come.
Right, which means reduced fares, reduced hotel rooms, restaurants.
Events and stuff.
So, yeah, you do your due diligence, folks, and check it out. Try to call over there and see what's actually happening and where you plan on staying on your Hawaiian trip. Because I know a lot of people have vacations set up for this summer to go to Hawaii to get away from the desert here and all our deserts areas. So I'm not saying don't go. I'm not saying go, but just do a little bit of research and work before. All right, we do have, before I start into some more industry news, we do have a $25 gift card for Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. You cannot have won this before, please. I want this to go to someone who has not won. You can have won on the show, but not a Johannes gift card. Give us a call at 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255 for a $25 gift card to Johannes Restaurant in Palm Springs. So, and again, remember, you can have one on the show, but you cannot have one of those gift cards. So 760-440-8255. All right. Norwegian Cruise Line said that after a detailed evaluation and consultation with authorities and experts, it will resume calls on Hawaii's Big Island next week. That is Norwegian Cruise Line. They're going back. Earlier this week, NCL said its Pride of America ship would skip regular calls at Kona and Hilo because of the persistent eruption of the volcano. Instead, a second stop in Maui was scheduled and a call on another Hawaiian port was extended. Norwegian said that they will continue to monitor and evaluate the situation, but they are going to be resuming their calls on the Big Island. All right, Carnival Corp has made an investment in Alaska that includes ownership of the White Pass and Yukon Route Excursion Railroad in Skagway. Now, I've been in Skagway a couple times. It is such a fun town in Alaska. And if you've never been to Alaska, it is beautiful up there. It's gorgeous. It's so pristine, and to see eagles just sitting in the trees. And but for me, you know, when the mosquito season comes about, it's tough. Yeah. Do they have mosquitoes in Portland?
Yeah.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
It's the dampness. I think it's the damp because of all the rain and,
yeah, and the water
and all that water. It's just, yeah, mosquitoes and I. Mm. But when I've been to Alaska a couple times now on cruises, and of course you stop in Skagway, and then we took a float plane into some into a lake area and went on the glacier and did all this crazy stuff. It really is spectacular. So anyway, the railroad says it's Alaska's most popular shore excursion, carrying 400,000 passengers in 2014. It operates a rail fleet of 20 diesel electric locomotives, 70 restored and replica parlor cars, and 2 steam locomotives. So again, good for them. Carnival says it entered into a purchase and sale agreement to acquire TWC Enterprises. And that includes its retail operations in Skagway for about $290 million. Air Canada and Air China have agreed to a joint venture in the first such agreement between a North American and Chinese carrier. Over the next 6 months, they will increase commercial cooperation on flights between Canada and China on domestic connections within their respective countries. That includes optimizing flight schedules, aligning fare products, and embarking on joint corporate sales and marketing. And mid-sized U.S. airports are now growing as fast at a faster rate than their larger rivals. This is a reversal from a few years ago. Meanwhile, small U.S. airports are also seeing overall growth in their outbound seat capacity, though advocates warn that such a stat belies the fact that the regional airlines and the smallest commercial airports in the United States continue to be imperiled by the growing pilot shortage. So there you go. So we are considered a smaller airport out here in Palm Springs, even though we are an international airport. But they say, according to Flight Global, a leading aviation data and analytics company, the 50 largest U.S. airports are expected to grow 3.8% year over year in the first half of 2018, as measured by the number of seats offered on departing flights, which compares with departing seat capacity growth of 6.8% among the 50 next largest airports. So they kind of rank them. They're all ranked in size. Excuse me. And Los Cabos hotels are on track despite storms and safety issues. More than 800 new hotel rooms came online in Los Cabos last year, during which the destination also persevered through a tropical storm, cartel violence, and a U.S. State Department warning, but they are still going strong. Mexico's Pacific Coast resort town is resilient and ready to welcome another 4,000, they call them keys, that's the key to your rooms, through 2021. And the New York hotel industry, in New York, the U.S. hotel industry is projected to continue posting record-breaking performance levels through 2019. This is the busiest. This year is topping all records, breaking them all for travel this year, 2018. They say for the total year, the U.S. hotel industry is projected to report a 0.4% increase in occupancy to 66.2%, a 2.5% rise in the daily average rate now, and that daily average rate is $129.74. You take that rate and add on the resort fees,
yeah.
And the parking fees and whatever else fees that you
this
can get.
Fee, that fee.
Yeah, you're talking, $170 a night.
Yeah.
For a room.
Jasmine's out there. She's out there right now.
Where?
In New York.
Oh, she's in New York right now? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, have you heard from her?
I heard from her last night, and I heard from her at like 11 o'clock, our time.
Yeah?
I'm like, what are you doing still up? But she had just gotten there, so she was like, it doesn't feel late. So I was like, well, you're not going to be happy tomorrow when you guys get up in the morning and start running around town.
They'll be so excited. They won't even think about it. So are they going to the White House?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll be, I think, in New York for 3 days, and then they'll go to D.C. for 3 days.
I am so jealous. Oh, you tell her that. Tell her I said hello. That's fantastic. That's such a great experience. Those trips like that are going to bring the travel side of a person out.
Right.
They're either going to like it and want to keep doing it the rest of their life, or they're going to go,
And the thing is, she gets to do a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, all 6 of those days are,
filled.
Listed out. She's going to a Broadway show. They went to the Hard Rock last night for dinner. you know, all kinds of stuff.
Is Janet with her?
No, she didn't get to go.
She didn't get to go this time. Yeah. Darn. All right. You guys didn't ask me. No, okay. That's fantastic. I love to hear young people that they're out being given the opportunity to travel, because like I say, and the industry knows this now. They know if they get kids kind of hooked on travel when they're young, it's just good for the industry.
Yeah, it's a good long-term plan, that's for sure.
Instead, we always would talk about, or people would always talk about through the different generations, let's wait until we retire.
Right.
That's when we're going to do all our traveling. Wait. In this day and age, it's not wait anymore. It's get them going.
Let's get them.
Yeah, soon as possible. Well, good for her. All right. And let's see what else. They say luxury chain scale segment is likely to report the largest increase in occupancy. So all but one top 25 market, which is Houston, Texas, is projected to report growth this year. And let's see, it says Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, Wisconsin is the only U.S. top 25 market expected to see growth in the range of 5 to 10%. So lots of stuff happening out there in the world of travel. Told you about Royal Caribbean. They are getting rid of they're banning plastic straws. And I told you Ristretto and Palm Springs, they're going to ban plastic straws. So now a lot of the cruise lines are doing it, and they will be replaced with paper straws instead of plastic so that they are more environmentally friendly. Okay, on that note, we're going to step aside. We are going to have Kim Laidlaw come in and join us. We're going to talk about traveling with pets. I'm going to read off the answers to some of the answers to your question of the week about traveling with your pets. What do you think about it? We have so much more to go, and there you go. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. So stick around, folks, so we'll talk about pet travel. If you have an opinion, you're always more than welcome to call the show at 760-440-8255. That's 440-8255. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes, your host. Joining us in studio is Kim Laidlaw, and she is with Animal Samaritans. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Francoise. How are you?
I am great. It's been a while since you've been in studio on the air.
Correct. It has been. Yeah. It's always good to see you. I always enjoy spending time with you.
And you don't have a furry friend with you today, so I never know.
Yeah. You know, I left mine at home because, you know, it's going to be 109, so it's a bit hot. Yeah. And unless you really have to bring your pet out in this weather, we recommend that you don't.
Yeah, and we've been talking about some very sad things in the beginning of the show, how humans, we are the smallest living species on Earth now, that livestock that has grown for all of us overtakes animals in the wild, which we don't have a whole lot of those left. Yeah. So anyway, all this is becoming so confusing with where people are taking their pets, where they're not taking their pets. And I'm sure you get questions all the time. And I get asked all the time, too, to have a segment about traveling with pets on the show. So I try to always make sure that we get that. Now's a good time going into the summer.
Absolutely.
And then also I want people to know a little bit as well more about Animal Samaritans, because I've been talking about it. I talk about you guys every week, and I was just there this week. So we have a lot to talk about.
Oh, great. Yeah. Good.
But we have a question.
I like to talk.
You and I, we could talk for a couple hours, and we'd be fine. The question of the week, I have a question of the week on traveling with Francoise that I put out there on Facebook, and I read a few of the answers, but everybody's entered to win a prize at answers. This one is, traveling is hard enough for humans. Do you think pets should travel with their owners or stay in an accredited pet facility while the owner is away? I also put on there, please no hostility, because this can garner hostility. I just want honest opinions. My honest opinion, I will put myself on the spot. Sean and I have talked about it. So we talked about that in the first hour, really. I feel that animals should either be at home with an animal sitter in their own environment when you're traveling. But if you're not comfortable with that, then you need to find a place that you've had a lot of friends go to, you've gone in there, checked it out, you've looked at the reviews, and I think a pet should go in a facility. I do not feel that animals should be traveling with their owners. I people that show up at a home and all of a sudden have their pets. They didn't tell their friends that they were even bringing their pets.
Well, they need to tell their friends they're bringing their pet.
Bringing their pets.
That shouldn't be a surprise when you're traveling miles.
Right. And then sneaking them into hotel rooms. There's a reason why hotels are so careful about that, because they have a guest that follows them. They didn't know there was a pet in there, and that person has allergies can be a
correct.
Big problem with the next guest. It's nothing to do with them disliking a pet. It's the fact that people have pet allergies and it could become very severe for them, and no one can understand why in this room all of a sudden people are allergic. So that is my opinion. Gary Schwartz said, I assume you mean air travel. He said, I would be uncomfortable with putting my pets on an airplane with the recent deaths of pets or being sent to other destinations by mistake. An accredited pet facility would be okay, or a close friend could house and sit with a pet. Carol Gale said, I have taking my dog on road trips and it just hasn't been a really good idea. It's too hot in the car when you stop to eat and he really doesn't know he's on vacation.
Yeah.
Now, that's a good point.
Well, that is a good point. They don't really know they're on vacation and they're supposed to have an enjoyable time. Oftentimes, it gets very stressful for them. You know, let me segment out everything that we talked about.
Yeah, no, go right into it.
Because I think if you get a dog and you get them accustomed to traveling with you when they're young, that it can be an enjoyable thing. Road trips are hard on dogs. It does make them a little nervous when you introduce that to them at an older age. So I think we need to be conscious of that. So I'm not against road trips with animals. Mm-hmm. I've done it myself when I've gone to Chicago with my animal. But we just need to be conscious of how they behave and how they construe it, because it really wasn't fun for Maple when she went.
Uh-huh.
She laid in the back of the SUV, and sometimes she was a little suspicious about her surroundings when we got out. But because I was there, that made her comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Traveling with your animals on an airplane, I think it's wonderful that an airline provides you the opportunity to bring small dogs on board. And they all have policies about how many animals can be on board so that they have enough space for people who might be allergic to pets. I think, again, if you start out doing that with your pet when you first get it, it's not a traumatic experience for them. And then lastly, when it comes to the hotels, they now have specific areas or rooms that are just for people with dogs for exactly the reason that you said, Francois.
And it's no anti-dog situation.
Exactly, right. Because you can bring your cat there as well if you're traveling with your cat. But that's a whole another segment, because traveling with cats is even more disruptive to the animal. But, you know, hotels have that for a reason. My personal preference when I travel, if I leave my animals at home, is to have a sitter come to my house.
Come to your house. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I don't know some really good accredited places that would take good care of my pet as well. Again, I think the earlier you can introduce these things to your pet, the better it is. The older they are, the harder it is. I know people always like to say, oh, you can teach old dogs new tricks. But sometimes when you take them out of their environment, the older they are, the more difficult it is.
I think, too, I know what bothers me. And here's one more from Bree I'm going to read, too. He said, just because he came into our life. Oh, driving on a summer trip, he says, just because he came into our life for a reason, we want him to stay with us for a long time. Emergency situation would mean licensed person comes to home, would not board the animal. In other words, they want to take their animal with them. I was raised with animals. I'm not a veterinarian, and neither are you.
Right,
I know.
I'm not.
We're not the dog whisperers or anything like that.
I am not.
But so often, Kim, I see people, even visitors that bring their pets with them, put them in these situations where there's hundreds of people around the animals. And you have been with animals for so long as a puppy raiser and all sorts of things. How can putting a dog, what do you see with the animal when you put them in situations like that, which owners tend to ignore? When you're traveling, let's say you take them to a big festival and they're surrounded constantly by people. How does that disrupt their flow?
Well, and again, I'm going to say that it all depends on what the age is when you start introducing them to these things. As you know, as a puppy raiser, you introduce them to these things young, and it's and that's what they're supposed to do. So they get accustomed to that. When we have our pets, we don't have the luxury of taking them every place we go. But I think we, as their guardians, mm-hmm. need to understand and need to realize their state of mind at the time. And just because it's fun for me or fun for you does mm-hmm. not at all mean it's fun for the dog. And we just really need to be cognizant of how they respond. Large crowds typically overwhelm a dog. You can tell because they start panting a lot. They'll start drooling. Mm-hmm. Their eyes, the pupils of their eyes will start to get larger. And these are all signs that this dog is not in a comfortable situation. And then when you put them in that situation, they're not comfortable. And if they lash out because that's the only way they know how to respond to the situation, then you have a different set of circumstances that you're dealing with because maybe the dog bites somebody mm-hmm. or maybe the dog brushes up against someone. You know, it's just not, it's in my mind, this is my opinion.
Your opinion.
I'm not speaking
yep.
on behalf of Animal Samaritans, but I'm just saying that mm-hmm. In my mind, it's best to keep the animal in an environment that they're accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. All right. But some people are definitely going to do it. We know that you're bound and determined out there for some reason or another. And you are going to take your pets traveling. And we're going to talk a little bit about crating pets as well, and in just a few minutes. But before we go to break and stuff, I want to talk a little bit about Animal Samaritans. I was just over there. I was over there to your adoption on Ramon Road.
Uh-huh.
And I was quite impressed. Everybody had their little rooms, and they were big rooms, actually. And they're all, you know what I noticed? Here's what I noticed. You had, I talked to Sally and Rana, and everyone that were there was so nice that all the pets, even the ones that came in that had been, which your folks thought slightly abused in one way or another. I know one little kitten was found on the road. The other, its family member was hit by, I mean, just tragic tales.
There are.
But, and I imagine it's every day. They were all so happy. They were all so happy over there. So that tells me right away that you guys are doing something right at Animal Samaritans.
Well, you know, our little adoption center really is a great thing. And we try very hard to make it a home environment mm-hmm. for the animals while they're there. And we have the rooms that the animals stay in as opposed to kennel runs. Mm-hmm. Not to say that those aren't bad, because for big dogs need to have kennel runs. But we have a great set of volunteers, and the staff is great. And so they're constantly working with the animals. They're playing with them. They're having a lot of interaction with them so that they become accustomed to people. Mm-hmm. And so that, I mean, frankly, so they're ready when it's time to go to a new home. Yeah. And we do. We rescue animals from kill shelters typically, or those, and they're animals that are maybe for behavior reasons, are not going to make it out of a shelter. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the simple act of just removing an animal from that chaotic environment puts them in a different mm-hmm. place, and then they can be worked with, and then they can become a really good pet for someone.
Well, and it was, and I liked, I was learning so much when I was there about how not only do you get a lot of snowbirds that come here and adopt smaller mm-hmm. dogs because they can't find them in their areas.
And they fly with them and travel with them.
Yes, they do, to get them back home and whatnot, because up in, she was one of, I think it was Sally, was telling me, I had so many people telling me such great information that up in Oregon and Canada, whatnot, there tends to be a lot of larger dogs for adoption, which here we get a lot of smaller dogs and some large ones, but there are a lot more smaller ones to choose one, which I found fascinating that so many snowbirds come down too and adopt all these dogs, which is wonderful.
It is wonderful. Yeah. And I don't know if they mentioned to you the great relationship that Animal Samaritans has with the Oregon Humane Society. Mm-hmm. They had such a successful spay and neuter program for their feral cats that they now don't have kittens. And so they work with the SPCA in LA mm-hmm. and they work with us when it's kitten season here to get kittens transported up to them so that families have kittens to adopt.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good job. All right. We need to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, let's talk about the crating on crating animals for traveling.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Well, Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Joining us today on the show is Kim Laidlaw from Animal Samaritans here in the Coachella Valley. And we're talking about traveling with your pets. Kim, it's so good to see you and have you back on the show.
Good to be back.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's talk about something so important that it's almost too easy to forget. And that is the regular ID tag.
Right. And, you know, and that is so important because that's actually your first defense if an animal gets lost. If someone finds your pet and you have an updated ID tag on your pet, they can call that number that's on the back. If you don't have an ID tag and they have to scan your animal for a microchip, and we're hoping everyone out there has microchips mm-hmm. in their pets, it then takes longer because you have to take the pet and you have to go to a facility, you have to get it scanned. If it's on a weekend, there may not be a shelter that's open. So the ID tag is really the first line of defense. The microchip will always get them home even if they don't have an ID tag on, mm-hmm. but the ID tag will get them there much sooner.
Which is very interesting because when all the microchip started coming out, that's all anyone was talking about. Microchip, microchip, microchip. But when we can go right back to that visual ID card, mm-hmm. the collar around their neck with a little bone on it that says their
exactly.
name or whatever
exactly.
and all that is probably it's 100% fall proof.
Well, it is.
As long as they're wearing it.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what happens is your pet gets out, your dog gets out, and they lose the collar, for mm-hmm. instance. And so then you need to be secure in both of those things. You have to have the mm-hmm. ID tag and you have to have the microchip. But as I said, the ID tag, the little bone with the phone number yeah. and the name, is going to get that pet home quicker.
And we see it on the news all the time that a dog, especially with some of these crazy storms going across the country, animals end up miles, countries, states away that no one
right.
even knows how they got there.
And most of those pets don't have a collar, so that's where the microchip gets them home.
And yep. let's talk about microchipping. Do you do that at Animal Samaritans?
We do.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about Animal Samaritans is that not only do we microchip the pet, but we also register the microchip
okay.
for you. So when you walk out of Animal Samaritans, within 7 days after you're out of Animal Samaritans, your information is already in the registry for that microchip. And we use Home Again microchipping, mm-hmm. and that's a yellow tag that is used. And so that's a big plus, because oftentimes you'll get a microchip and you'll forget to register it when you get home.
Yeah.
You have to send in that mm-hmm. paperwork so that they know the animal is registered to you. If you adopt an animal from Animal Samaritans, they already have a chip in them that's registered to Animal Samaritans, but we transfer it over for you to the new owner. If you get a animal from the county shelter or some other places, they're microchipped to the shelter, but they don't microchip it over to the new owner. That's your responsibility. So it's really important that everyone out there realize that they have to make sure that the animal is registered to you once you adopt that pet from a place.
So when I think of microchip, I think of just dogs. What animals do you microchip?
Well, cats get microchipped as well. My cat has a microchip also.
All right.
And people have microchipped their bunnies. People have microchipped their ferrets.
Okay.
And I would imagine that this day and age, there's probably some livestock that is microchipped as well.
In case they leave the ranch, they're going to find them somewhere. So
right.
remember, that is key, folks. You get the microchip, which is great. Step one, you did it.
Right.
But if you don't have it done at Animal Samaritans, you have to be very vigilant to make sure that when you take the animal, that it's processed, or after the microchip is done, that you have it registered. Otherwise, it's a waste of time.
Right, exactly. And there are many clinics out there that will give you a really cheap price on the microchip, maybe $10, maybe $12.
Yep.
And that's a great thing. You've done exactly what you're supposed to for your pet,
right.
but go home and register it because it's not registered yet.
Don't forget.
And Animal Samaritans offers that service for $20 for the microchip.
Geez.
And
yep.
that's the registration included. So you can walk out of there feeling secure in the fact that you have done what you need to for your pet.
And, oh, gosh, I had a in my head, traveling, of course, you want a microchip. How is there a healing process to get a microchip? Does the animal need laid up for a couple of days or no?
Okay, there you go.
Yep. All right.
Just like getting a shot.
Yeah, just like,
you know. Okay. I mean, you have to look for a reaction just in case, like you would if you get a rabies shot or anything.
Right.
But typically, nothing ever goes awry.
Isn't that something?
Everything's
That's
fine.
All right. So traveling now with crates. There's a lot of, I see all different kind of crates out there. I see, I've seen pet owners, cat and dog owners, who they just open the door and the animals go right in.
Yes.
And that is their almost their security blanket, their safe place.
Yes.
Traveling now in cars and vans and whatever, on planes and trains and automobiles, crating, non-crating, how do you see that?
So, well, it's definitely a necessity if you're taking an animal on a plane. You have to have the animal in a crate that fits underneath a seat, and they have special dimensions for that crate that you need to get. If it's always easier, again, the younger you start the animal out in teaching them these new things and taking them places. I've always crated my animals. I've done it for several reasons in the house. One, I wanted to keep them safe. Two, I don't want to come home to a mess in the house.
Yeah.
And although sometimes people think that it's really cruel to crate an animal, you're absolutely right. It becomes their little den. Mm-hmm. And when they need to go someplace and they need to feel secure, they go into their crate. Right. So traveling with an animal in the car in a crate can be really good for you. If your animal likes the crate.
Yeah.
If your animal doesn't, then it creates another stressful situation during this whole travel scenario.
Yeah.
So, but it keeps them safe. It keeps them from running around loose in the car. It keeps them from becoming a projectile if you have to slam on the brakes or you get into a car accident. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all watch the crash dummies on the commercial, and we need to be cognizant of that when it comes to our pets as well. Cats, in my opinion, should never be left loose in the car. I think it's always best for them to be in a crate because sometimes they can get underfoot while you're driving. Cats like to be in a confined area when they're nervous anyways, and they like to hide. So having them in their crate is a good thing. And, you know, if you don't want to use a crate in the car, you always have the option of using a seatbelt harness.
Yep.
So the animals can wear a harness, and it clicks right into the seatbelt. Again, you're keeping the animals safe. They're not crawling in your lap. Mm-hmm. And something that I just really want to stress here for a moment is that oftentimes we all think, oh, it's so nice for a dog to have its head hanging out the window.
I was just thinking that, please.
And it's really not. And the reason for that is because things happen. I mean, the weather happens outside. Mm-hmm. People have construction trucks and things fly off trucks. I mean, we've all seen situations where people have had metal on the back of an 18-wheeler and it slides off and it goes right through the windshield, the windshield of the car. And so that's what we want to protect our pets from as well. It's not just that leaves and rocks and other things happen, but they can get an earache, they can get an eye infection, and then you're on vacation and you're looking for a vet because you have to treat a sick animal then.
That is such a great, great point. I mean, they look so happy with their head hanging
out
the window. And they probably think they are. That's their vacation, but it can be so dangerous and stressful.
Well, and the other thing about that, too, is that, again, if you get into an accident or have to step on the brakes, they become a projectile. Mm-hmm. And although I don't really like using that word in connection with our pets, but we have to be – it's the truth.
Reality. Yeah.
And, you know – or they see a rabbit or something outside the window and they decide that, and maybe they've never done it before. And I actually have had a friend that this has happened to. And the dog jumped out the window to try to go after that squirrel that saw.
Geez.
And luckily he was okay, but that could not always be the case.
Right. He could not have been okay. It could have been one of those rabid squirrels, or they could have ran out in front of a big truck, and who the heck knows.
Yep.
With so many things to talk about. I appreciate it so much. Donations, we have just a few seconds. People can donate food to Animal Samaritans.
Absolutely. And Animal Samaritans uses a specific food for their dogs and their cats. And it's from Costco.
Yep.
It's the cat maintenance food, and it is the Costco chicken, I believe it is. Yes, it's right here. The chicken food, the Kirkland adult dog, Kirkland maintenance cat. We'd like always the Friskies cans for the cats, and I got to wrap it up. Francois's telling me.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Kim, like to talk. We're going
to
have you back on, though. Not to worry. Kim, thanks so much for joining us today. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with a new show. Have a great one, and remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.
Yeah. I know.